Wow, you know, I love coming home. So this was sort of an excuse to come home and check in with the family, but an honor at the same time, because the Salvation Army is sort of this hidden hand reaching out to the, you know, the people who've been forgotten in this economy. Everyone talks about the economy coming back, but we can't forget, you know, here in Central New York and a lot of parts of this country, it's not yet. It's not back. And, you know, now that I report at the network level, I parachute in on so many disasters. But it's not lost on me that the cameras, when they leave, it's the Salvation Army that's there long after we're gone. And I'm always sensitive to that. Families share their stories with us, and then we get to move on. And it's our job as reporters to remind people that those families still need help. And I'm always moved by the fact that the Salvation Army never forgets that. In fact, they're the ones long after everybody else moves on that are still there.
How did they contact you? How did you end up being the, you know, the speaker for this event?
Well, one of the things I am grateful for is that this town generally knows I'm their hometown kid. You know, I think I've been bugging them since I was 13 and wrote that letter to Ron Curtis. So, you know, I get requests now and then to come back and visit, and this was one that I just couldn't say no to, because this hopefully will help thousands of families. They already have helped thousands. I think in the last year it was more than 40,000 people touched by the Salvation Army. So hopefully this visit pays off for families that need help.
Well, and as you know, I realize people like you don't tout your celebrity, but you know the hometown is proud of where you've been, and you are on the air locally, and so they like to follow your success. What have you enjoyed doing as you've moved sort of out of this level to the network level? I mean, you've done 2020, you've backup anchored, you've had these sort of series of different reports that kind of have a signature David Muir to them.
I think it's a gift. I mean, I still feel like that lucky kid from Onondaga Hill. I get sent out to travel the world and try to find ways to break down these complex stories and tension around the world and have it all make sense, hopefully, for the people back here in the States and here in Central New York. Made in America has been as much fun for me as I hope it's been for the viewer. You know, it's not about buying only Made in America, but it's just about buying one thing. And I think that when we think about it on those levels, everyone thinks, well, wait a minute, I think I probably could help boost the economy too. So that's been a real gift that ABC has given to me. I think they've allowed me to tell stories the way I learned here in Central New York when Ron and Maureen let me come in on my summer breaks, and I've never forgotten that.
Where do you see, I mean, you're in the TV business at sort of the top end, but you know it's got to be online and there's other social media and all that stuff. Take us behind the scenes for your size of operation. Yeah. Where do you see things going?
I mean, ask any of your kids or your grandchildren or your friends' children, do they watch the evening news? Do they even watch regular television on a TV set anymore? And I think a lot of people would assume that we'd be frightened by that, those of us in the industry. But for me, it's sort of fun because it means there's a new chapter, there's a new adventure. I mean, who knew that the audience would be able to relate with the network news anchor on that particular night through a tweet or through a message on a Facebook page? You know, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, you know, you had Peter, Dan, Tom Brokaw, and they were all extraordinary in their own way. But they were the anchors. They were the voices from those news desks. And I think today that's all sort of changed. I think viewers here in Central New York and listeners and people all over the country now feel as though, hey, you know, David made a point tonight. I want to let him know. It was either a good point or it was a bad point. And they have a way of getting in touch with us now. So I actually think it's sort of going to be fun, and we'll see where this industry takes us. People are going to need news and information, but they're going to demand of us that we deliver it in new ways.
So you're embracing that stuff, and it's not bothering you. You're younger than me, so you're maybe it's a little closer to your what you've grown up with a little bit.
You know, one thing I hope, even with all of this social saturation with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, my hope is that people don't lose a healthy appetite for news and information. You know, those tweets are so short and the messages on Facebook, you can only relay so much in the social media. I hope that what it will do is pique your interest in something that then maybe you'll come back to the TV set and watch a longer story. I would hate for all of this instantaneous messaging to replace smart, well-told stories. I think, hopefully, there's a way to marry the two.
I got you. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. No, great. It was great. Thank you. Yeah.